Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
As we kick off our Advent teaching series in here, we're going to talk about the man in the red and white outfit for a little bit. You all know who I'm talking about. I mean, once you see him, he's instantly recognizable. He's probably up there on that list of most recognizable people around the world. But sometimes he can be hard to find, like we've got to really look for him. Of course, I'm talking about this guy. I know you weren't thinking about Santa Claus. We don't have time for Santa Claus. Waldo, or if you're from Europe, it's Wally. The man in the red and the white that people around the world are searching for. Waldo. He's the main character from a classic children's puzzle book created by English illustrator named Martin Hanford. These pictures or these puzzles depict really crowded scenes that sometimes will take up multiple pages. In each one, Waldo is in there somewhere. You just got to look for him. Take this one, for example. Where's Waldo? Right? Now, I know some of you, you're a little far away and the picture's pretty small, but where's Waldo? Like, I promise you he's in there. In the midst of the chaos somewhere, Waldo's in that page. He's right there in the bottom corner, wearing a backpack hiking. Where's Waldo? As I've studied this thing looking for Waldo this week, and some of you are like, so this is what you do all week? Sometimes, yes. Mind your business. Anyway, something else really jumped out at me, because while you're looking for Waldo, you notice other things, right? And I noticed there are some people having a really good time here. What really stood out to me, up in this corner here on my side, there's a boat with a water skier. I'm like, that's really cool. How fun would that be? I mean, there's people that are skiing, there's people hiking, there's people building a snowman with their family, there's folks on a hike. There's even a guy ice fishing on the frozen pond. Like, that's right up my alley, right? But for all of that stuff going on, something else jumped out at me in this scene. For everyone that's having a good time celebrating this winter season, there are people who are having a really bad day in this picture. There's a skier who's had some sort of accident, and he's ended up in the top of a pine tree there in the middle. No idea how he got there, but he ain't getting down without help. He's having a rough day. He's stuck. There's another person, or persons. Man, they're wrapped up in a snowball, and it's barreling down the hill uncontrollably. The mess they're in keeps getting bigger and bigger and faster until it's going to come to a crash. That's a pretty rough day. There's another person. Man, they hit the wall so hard they blew clear through the side of the house. Someone else is doing a face plant in the snow, and man, there's just chaos and accidents everywhere in this scene. And man, as I've looked at that this week, all the different things that are happening, I just can't help but think that there might be some of you in the room today who on the first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday of December, might feel a little bit like this. Maybe you've hit a wall. Maybe you've done a face plant. Maybe you've got no idea what happened, how you got here, where you're at today, but you know you're stuck and you need help. Perhaps you're barreling down the hill, life is racing by you, and you are just waiting for the crash. You don't know what to do. Maybe you're sitting alone today. Maybe you're alone just watching it all go by. And amid your story today, wherever you might find yourself, you're not asking a question like, where's Waldo? If you were honest, the question closer to your heart today would be, where is God? Where's God? Friend, if you can relate to any or all of those feelings, the story of Christmas is good news for you today. It's good news. The Where's Waldo books, Waldo's on every page somewhere. You just got to find him. In the story of Christmas, it tells us that God is on every single page of our lives. Sometimes he's in the forefront, he's easy to see. Other times you have to look really hard. But friends, make no mistake about it today. God is with us. It's the very essence of who he is. In fact, it's his very name. If you look at Matthew 1:23, speaking of Jesus, Matthew writes, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel. It's not just what he does, it's who he is. He is God with us. And so today, no matter how you feel, no matter how stuck, how confused, how hurt, how face down in the snow, or how pressed up against the wall you are today, Emmanuel is true. God with you. He's with you. It's the very name of Jesus. Today we're beginning our Advent teaching series called The Names of Jesus. Throughout this series, we're going to be looking at a few of the different names, the titles that Scripture gives to Jesus. In the Bible times, names held far more significance than perhaps what they do today. They often spoke of someone's character and sometimes even their destiny, and of course that would be true of Jesus, right? Scholars estimate that there are nearly 200 different titles and names given to Jesus in the Scriptures. Each of them are revealing, they're telling, they're revealing to us who he is, his nature, and his character. Even the name Jesus is loaded with meaning for us today. Jesus is a shortened form of the Hebrew word for Joshua. We just spent a lot of time studying Joshua, right? It's a shortened word for Joshua, which literally translated means the salvation of Yahweh. The salvation of God. And friends, if that's all we had about Jesus, about his name, that would tell us a great deal about his person, right? He is the salvation of God. And so today we're going to begin with the name of Jesus that's found right in the heart of the Christmas story, and that is Emmanuel. If you have your copy of Scripture and you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 18. The text will be on the screen. There's also a YouVersion event created if you're a Bible app user. But Matthew chapter 1, let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask him to open our hearts to his word today. So would you bow with me? Father in heaven, we give you thanks today for your word. And Lord, as your Spirit inspired Matthew to pen these words, God, may that same Spirit pen these words on our hearts today. Lord, as we come and we dive into the story of your arrival, of your taking on a flesh, Lord, God, I pray that you would open our hearts, our minds, our ears to hear this story afresh and anew. And Lord, to realize in a new way that you are with us. Emmanuel. Lord, we love you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 1:18, we're going to read and unpack our way through the text this morning. Verse 18 says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So Matthew starts out, he says, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. An unplanned pregnancy, a relationship on the rocks, divorce on the horizon, and some crazy story about miraculous conception. Right? Like, I don't know about you, but these details, this story sounds more like the chaos of a Where's Waldo picture than the nativity scenes we have set up in our yard. But this is the story of God with us. You see, Mary and Joseph, they're pledged or betrothed to one another. This takes our idea of engagement and takes it up another level. Betrothal was a legally binding agreement in this culture. They weren't yet officially married, but yet they were bound together legally in the eyes of the law. And so during that time, they hadn't had the official ceremony, but if something happened, they would have to go through legal proceedings to nullify the agreement or the engagement. And that's what we see Joseph wrestling with in this text. Mary has been found to be pregnant, and Joseph knows it wasn't him. He's got a mess on his hands. So here, you know, sometimes our familiarity with a story can allow us to just breeze through. So let's try to slow down and walk with the flow of the story with the characters. Mary is a teenager. More than likely, she's very young. She's pledged to be married. The Gospel of Luke tells us that she's been visited by an angel, and the angel tells her that she will bear a son. Now, Mary, she knows the stigma this is going to bring. She knows that it's punishable by death to be found out if she was pregnant outside of marriage. All of these things, all of these questions, yet Mary says yes. She says yes. Now, Joseph, man, he's been working hard to prepare his home. The date's coming up where they'll be married, and man, he loves this girl. They have hopes, they have dreams together, and now this. Some crazy story about an angel and a move of the Holy Spirit. I mean, come on. Everybody knows where babies come from, and this one didn't come from Joseph. This is the scene. This is the confusion, the tension, the questions, the frustrations, and the fear. This is the story of Emmanuel. You see, Joseph, man, he's wrestling with his options. He's a righteous man, so he knows he doesn't want to go through with this marriage, but he also loves Mary, and he doesn't want her to be punished or put to shame. And so he's wrestling with what to do, and he finally lands on this last good option he feels like is left. And that's to go and seek a quiet divorce. He would have needed two witnesses. That's something they could have done in someone's home. They can go their separate ways. Joseph feels like that's his last option. This is the story. Let's continue. Verse 20. But after Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I can only imagine Joseph is facing a difficult journey. He's been doing a lot of thinking. I don't know about you, but when a lot's on my mind, I struggle to sleep. I imagine that's true of Joseph too. He's got questions. He's been doing a lot of thinking. The text tells us he's a righteous man. I'm sure he's praying about this. But some little bit of sleep he's been getting is interrupted. It's interrupted by an angel of the Lord coming to him. And this angel confirms Mary's story. She's telling the truth. That this baby conceived in her is a move. It's a creative power over top of her in bringing new life through the Holy Spirit. It's true. Joseph needed to go ahead with their plans. He had a part to play in God's redemption story too. He needed to take Mary as his wife. And this message tells that they're going to have a boy. They didn't have an ultrasound, but yet they got to have a gender reveal party, right? It's a boy. And this boy has a name. You're to call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. This is quite a dream. And at this point in the story, Matthew pushes pause. And he takes a step back and he wants to give us an explanatory comment about some things that are happening here. That's what we see in verse 22 and 23. Let's look there. He says all this took place. So he's looking at this whole story, the coming of Jesus, the whole scene. And he's saying all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so what we see here, as Matthew is telling the story, he's recounting the story of Jesus, he presses pause to help his readers make a connection. You see, he's quoting from the prophet Isaiah, which came hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Matthew's remembering a time when another child was born, and it was a sign of God's presence and his faithfulness to his people. It literally happened in the story of Isaiah and King Ahaz. But he's looking at that and sees in the birth of Jesus, he's seeing those words fulfilled in a whole new way. This is literally God with us. This is him coming to be with us, to save us. Jesus is not just another sign, is not just a prophetic voice speaking into the future. He is God with us. And his name says that he is here to save us. Friends, this is God stepping into our messy and complicated story to save us. Emmanuel is God with us. Let's watch.
Shall call his name Emmanuel.
Thank you.
Emmanuel. God with us. Over the next couple weeks as we journey towards Christmas, we're going to look at a few other names given to Jesus in the Scriptures. We will see Jesus as Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Savior sent to save His people from their sins. Finally, on Christmas Eve, we're going to see Jesus as the light of the world, dispelling darkness and bringing hope. You see, each one of these titles, each one of these names holds significant truth for us today. Each name, each title is revealing of the very heart of God, His nature, His character, and it invites us to know Him more. It invites us to know Him more. That's certainly true of Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel invites us to recognize and to remember that God is with us. That God is not aloof or unaware of your circumstances, the messiness, the challenges, the hurts, the habits, the hang-ups. All of those things does not dispel His presence. He is with us. It's Emmanuel. It's true. Regardless of how we feel, He's with us. I love what John 1:14 says, quoting from the Message paraphrase. It says, "The Word," which is another name for Jesus, "became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." Man, that's Christmas. Jesus moving into our neighborhood, taking on flesh and blood. It says, "We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish." Friends, that's the story of Christmas. The story of Emmanuel is literally God moving into the neighborhood of humanity. And of course, we know that God has been with His people from the very beginning, from the garden with Adam and Eve and Moses and the children of Israel. God had always been with His people, but never before like this. This is Emmanuel. Jesus is God becoming flesh. And as His name says, He's not here just to hang out with us. He's here to save us. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He Himself," speaking of Jesus, "He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed." Friends, the story of Christmas is God with us to save us. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Friends, that's the truth. That's the story. That's the good news that all the lights are about. That's the trees, the gift exchange, the funky sweater thing, all the old songs. We're celebrating God with us to save us. It's Emmanuel. It's the whole message of Christmas. And Jesus, He doesn't force Himself on anyone. He won't kick down the door of your life. But friends, He is there. A lot like the Where's Waldo story, God is on every page of your story. It's called prevenient grace. He's there. He's not once lost sight of you. He's not once forgotten about you. He's not once forsaken you. He's there. You might not see Him at first. It might not feel like it's true. But He's there on every single page of your story today. As the band comes forward, as I've thought about this story this year and preparing for this week, the messiness of this scene has really jumped out at me. And I can't help but imagine that Mary and Joseph didn't always feel like God was with them. We already talked about how their relationship was on the rocks, right? No doubt rumors would swirl about Mary as she started to show. We know that while this whole thing is going on, the government of this region is in such turmoil, is in such uproar, that they demanded everyone walk to their hometown to be registered for a census so they could pay more taxes. Joy to the world. That's the scene. God, is this really what you're doing? So they're on the way, they're traveling to their hometown, and this baby begins to come. Joseph, my water broke. Where's the hospital? There ain't one. This baby comes and is born into a barn, a stable, a cave. We're not real sure, but his first abode is a feeding trough. The King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. God, is this really your plan? Is this really your plan? We know that as rumors started to get around, news started to get around, the shepherds come, they worship, the wise men come, and the local king, King Herod, he finds out that a new king has been born. Now, we know from the scriptures and other historical documents, Herod was a lunatic. He was crazy. And he would not have any challenge to his authority and his power. And so he devises a plan. The wise men, they didn't tell him where this new king was, so he sends out his troops and says, kill every baby boy 2 years and younger. And they do it. And his holy family slips away to the land of Egypt to abide, to live in a foreign nation, in a foreign land, away from their family, their friends. They barely escape. But this is the story. And what has stood out to me is that all of this terrible and crazy and awful stuff, all of these things happening did not change God's redemption plan. None of the messiness, none of the pain, none of the confusion changed his plan, his coming to save us. And friends, I don't know about you today, but that gives me a lot of hope. Because in the midst of our craziness and our hurt, our Where's Waldo scene where we're stuck and we've hit the wall, none of that has the power to change the reality of God's presence with you. And that he has a plan of redemption for your life. So it doesn't matter how stuck you feel today. It matters. Don't hear what I'm not saying. It matters. But none of those things, none of those things take away from the reality that God is with you. Right there in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the unrest, the confusion, the questions, God is with you. And friends, he came for a purpose. And that was to save us. To save us from our sins, to give us new life, to give us life eternal. And there's nothing in your story today that can change that truth. He's here to save you, to redeem and restore you. Will you receive him? In the midst of the challenge, the messiness, the uncertainty, he's there. Will you embrace him? That's the message of Emmanuel, God with us. I want to give you a gift today. Would you stand? We're about to finish. The Lord spoke through another prophet in the Old Testament named Jeremiah. And he said these words, the Lord speaking through the prophet said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you," declares the Lord. Friends, God has come. He is here. Will you seek him?
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.